Hey, I'm Ron. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I'm glad you're part of the team. Are you experiencing health at its fullest potential? Are you informed about the latest exercise and nutritional trends? I'm here to help coach you in making better choices. I am passionate about health and wellness, sports and competition, marriage and raising children. If any of these topics are appealing to you, you're in the right place. If you want to check out more content, you can always visit me at theronyoungshow.com. Or you can always email me, theronyoungshow@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the first episode of The Ron Young Show. I'm so glad you've joined me today for this podcast, and I'm excited for what the future has in store for this show. So thank you for tuning in for this first episode, and I hope that you find it informative, as well as I hope it gives you a little bit more of an introduction to me, who's going to be speaking regularly on the podcast. That's why I titled it The Ron Young Show. I'm going to be talking a lot myself about different topics in the health field. Some things that are maybe skeptical, some things that are scientifically proven to be true, other things that maybe you've been wondering about, perhaps a certain diet or a certain exercise. I am well versed in the field of movement because that's what I've studied. I've studied it for 4 years in university, and I've had a career for 10 years as a kinesiologist. So I love movement. I love how the body moves. I love sports. I love competition. I really just enjoy health in all its forms, and I'm hoping good health upon you today. How did I get into this stuff? That's a great question. It actually dates back to my high school years. I was actually in a exercise science class in my high school, and we had to do anatomy models and different strategies and stuff like that within sports. And that stuff really clicked with me. I thought, gee, I watch sports all the time, and you know, I love to see the athleticism of these individuals, either hockey players, football players, baseball players, wrestlers, you name it, I watched it. The only sport I didn't watch was cricket, and it's not because I don't like cricket, it's because I don't understand it. So if you're a cricket fan, you want to describe the sport to me and explain it to me, I'm sure I'll be watching that too. Golf, tennis, anything you can imagine. Curling is actually my main sport. I've actually curled at a provincial level when it comes to curling, and I love doing that. It's a great winter sport. If you haven't tried it, you owe it to yourself to get on the curling sheet and throw a couple stones. Going back to high school, though, when we were asked to do an anatomy model, the thing that I chose was the foot. And many people looked at me because they were doing the arm, the elbow joint, as well as the shoulder joint and different things like that. Well, the reason I picked the foot was because I wanted the most challenge from it. It was something that it has so many tendons, ligaments, muscles, and that was something that really interested me in school. And I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. And I remember spending many, many hours on that model, and I think I scored a 98. I don't know what happened to the other 2%, but man, oh man, did I ever do my best and pour my heart and soul into that project because it was a passion of mine. If you have a passion, you know how much you want to strive for it. You want to go after it. You want to make sure that you're doing things in this world that you love doing and that are worth it. So that's kind of where it sparked my curiosity. Overall, I wanted to become an ambulance driver, a first aid, a first responder, right? Would be a paramedic. That was one of the coolest things I thought, because there's a lot of action. You get to be first on the scene. You get to help people in need. And that's something I've always been really genuine and passionate about, is helping people in need. And whether that be in the church setting, family setting, or my work setting, it's one of those things that, you know what, I want to put other people first because that's what I care about and that's what I'm passionate about. Anyways, I was in the orientation for the paramedics. And what I discovered was there are a lot of older people around me. I was still in high school. I was getting ready to launch and hopefully explore this new program and get accepted into it. But what I understood was there were many older people. So as I struck up some conversations, seeing who I was competing with to get into this program, I quickly learned that a lot of them were actually first and second year kinesiology students at Western Ontario University. And I thought that that was kind of cool. Well, how am I going to really, you know, hold my own here if everyone in this class has more experience than me, more, you know, more just knowledge on the whole exercise and body and first responder basis? Like, I don't have a chance here. So I started asking around, and more people confirmed, yes, it is kinesiology I'm studying, or health science at Western University. So I went back to high school, and of course, first thing I did was I applied to both of those programs. I didn't know which ones I would get into, but I applied for kinesiology at Western, at Brock, and at one more school. I forget which one it was. But then I also, to cover my bases, I also applied for health sciences at Western University. So lo and behold, thankfully, good grace upon me, but I got into all the programs and I just kind of had my choice of it. And I thought, you know what, Western has a great reputation, good school. I'm going to go to Western because London's just an hour away from Goderich, where I grew up. And I thought that that would be cool to have my family close by, to kind of still be close to friends and still be able to come home on the weekends if that was what I desired to do. And you know what? As I went through my university education, I found more and more of a passion for just this whole movement, this exercise, this health, well-being. And I thought it was so cool. We got to study courses like biomechanics, you know, how do we actually break this movement down into segments and analyze it? I got to study strategies and tactics. I got to study psychology as it pertains to exercise. I got to study biochemistry, biopsychology, biomedical ethics, lots of science-based stuff. And guess what? Tons of anatomy, tons of physiology, and man, did I ever love those things, because to just know how the body works, and you know, the body's so unique in that it heals itself, right? You get a cut, it heals. You break a bone, it heals. It's so cool to know the processes that are happening on a cellular level within the body. You know, how the heart's pumping blood, what's happening within there, the electrical activity within the heart, how muscles move, how they relax, how they release. All these things went hand in hand to build a really passionate foundation that I still practice today and that I'm able to mentor a young group of leaders with. And I think that that's one of the coolest things. Early in my career, as I launched from school, I went into rehabilitation. And that was one of the things that really interested me, because as I wanted to help people, I wanted to see them get better on the path to health. And a lot of progression comes from when people are hurt in car accidents, WSIB cases. They want to, you know, get into physio, get into chiro, massage, whatever they can dig their benefits into, and hopefully get better, recover from injury. That's what happens with the body. We go through a traumatic event. Something becomes out of line, or perhaps broken, or you know, you've torn a tendon. All these things really add up to good health and well-being, and certainly we take it for granted until something like that happens, and we're at a point now where we're kind of at the mercy of therapeutic rehabilitation, you know, acupuncture, different things like that, and laser therapy, massage therapy, chiro, and those are really great things. And what I tell people is sometimes there's not a one-shot thing. You got to really try different types of therapies to see what's best for you. The one thing that I really found interesting within the rehabilitative sector was just where people place their importance with their health. A lot of people would go through treatments because they knew it was the right thing to do and they knew that the insurance company was covering it. But once the well ran dry of benefit money, a lot of these patients, very close to becoming fully healed or cured or exercising without discomfort, would turn around and say, you know what, I can't afford these treatments, even though it was maybe $50 a treatment, and if they rode it out for another month, they would feel a lot better. Yet I found in my conversations with those patients that they were very quick to brag about the $1,000 TV that they just bought, or, you know, the new bicycle, or the new car that they just got that's on lease or payments. And wow, is it ever crazy to think people value many things over their own health. People value just stuff. People value these things and hold such importance on them, even though they can't move properly. So what kind of quality of life is that? It's just kind of crazy to me to think that you would not invest within your health, not invest in good groceries, not invest in regular exercise or some sort of sport, but rather you're putting your importance and your priority in something that, you know, yeah, it offers you entertainment, but it's not going to help you get on the ground and play with your grandchildren when you're older. It's crazy to me. And that's the thing. People put priority on where they spend their money. And let me tell you, you have to be in the mindset to treat yourself. And whether that means you treat yourself to some sort of therapeutic massage, or you spend a little bit extra to go to the premium gym, or, you know, you buy that piece of sports equipment because it's going to put you over the edge. Those are the things that keeping you active is going to do, and you're going to have and reap the health benefits associated with it. So please do that. It's crazy. Why wait on stuff like that? Invest in your health today. Be proactive, because what this healthcare system has done to us in Canada, as great as it is, many fabulous doctors, nurses, people in the hospital systems, just people down the road at the regular walk-in clinic, great people. But what it's done is it's enabled us to be lazy, to be to be reactive with our health. We no longer take the stance of, I'm going to do this for myself because I want to avoid this. No, it's now we have a heart attack, unfortunately, and if we survive, then, you know what, I'm going to smarten up and get on the right path. Or perhaps you're burdened with sugars and diabetes has come into your life, right? There's some diabetes we can control and there's some diabetes we cannot control. But for the one that we can control, why would you let that consume you? You know, it's kind of like we just need to make better choices. And sometimes making small choices more frequently throughout your day is going to be what puts you over the top when it comes to feeling good about yourself. Establishing lifelong habits that you can adhere to. And that's very important today. I want to give you a little bit of insight before I talk a little bit more about our healthcare in Canada and the state of what it is. Because I want you to get to know me. It'd be very fitting in the first episode we're doing here, and you don't know anything about me. Well, I've taught you a little bit about my passions. I've taught you about my schooling and what maybe qualifies me in order to talk about this kind of stuff. Because I don't want to come on here and just spew garbage for you to consume or do whatever you want with it. I want you to know me. I want you to have a kind of that relationship with me. Feel it on your heart to reach out to me, email me. If there's stuff on the show that you hear about that you agree with, give me the heck yeah, you know? Give me a reinforcing statement there through email, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. If there's stuff that you don't agree with, you know what? I'm all ears. Give me your take on the topic. Give me some scientific evidence to back it. I'm going to do my due diligence and dig it up and make sure that I get this right, because what I want to do is inform people. There's so much stuff out there, and the water is so muddied that a lot of people can't decipher from what is fact and what is fiction. And with the ease of getting information out there on the World Wide Web, it's no coincidence to me that people are confused. People are getting alternate feedback on different topics. And what I really want to do is I want to do the research for you. I want to break down these topics and I want to make it in a meaningful way. And I want to really apply it to our own lives. I want to have it backed by scientific evidence, things that have been studied with population sizes, with a good longevity of the study, with all the markers that add up to a good scientific research paper. If we can draw from information like that that's withstood the test of time, withstood peer scrutiny and other things like that. I mean, those are the things that we really need to drive home, and those are the things that we need to make sure that we are leaning on when our own understanding comes into question here, because we want to have knowledge that is sound, that is irrefutable, and that's backed by a lot of evidence. Because right now I'm looking through the internet and I'm not seeing a lot of it. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. You know, I have a beautiful family. I have a loving wife. She's wonderful. Her name is Natalie. We are high school sweethearts. We basically grew up from high school onward together. And it was really cool to go through university together, sharing our dreams and our goals together. And she's an entrepreneur. She really pushes me to do stuff that's outside of my comfort zone. And, you know, she's always got her mind going and going and going a mile a minute. If it's not this idea, it's the next idea. And you know what? It's true in some cases, opposites attract, because I'm good with just kind of doing my work and you know, taking a nap on a Sunday. But she pushes me to be better. She is awesome. We have a photography business together. She homeschools our beautiful children. She's a blogger, social media influencer. If you want to check her out, it's Natalie Young. You can go on Natalie Young blog. I think that's it on Instagram. But check her out. She's great. You'll get a great insight as to who she is, who I am, who our kids are, if you go on the Instagram there, Facebook, or just simply the website there. I have beautiful children. I have two twin boys. I mean, maybe if I just said twin boys, you'd understand that there's two of them. But Skylar and Bryson are wonderful. They're great. They're 5 and a half right now. And man, oh man, do they ever take a lot out of me. You know, they're always active. They're very active. They do baseball. They play hockey. They love curling. I had them out on the ice. They love curling. And, you know, I'm trying to let them pick like what they're passionate about and go after it. They love writing books. They love reading books. They like just going in the backyard and hanging out on the trampoline. It's great to have children like that who are active, who are, you know, busy, and who ask questions. They ask a lot of questions, and it's always great. I always used to watch that kids say the darndest things, you know, and it was always like, man, I wonder if my kids will ever say stuff like that. Well, they do. They have a mind of their own, and they ask questions, 100 questions in a day. And if it's not them asking questions, it's them asking for a snack. And that topic comes up very frequently. We also have a little one. His name's Everest. He's about a year and a half right now. And man, oh man, is he ever different from the twins. He's just busy. Loves picking up things. He'll go right on to the next thing. He's motoring around the house. And man, does he ever love just bugging us. I swear my hair has gotten a bunch of gray shades darker after having Everest. And you know what? He is just a joy, and he's an amazing kid, and really so cool to see the differences between children, right? I mean, that's one of the joys of life, to just know the differences in people, to understand and appreciate the differences in people. And that's one of the things that is really awesome about having a family. And different siblings and different relationships with mom and dad and with their siblings. It's awesome. My wife and I also went through a really dark time in our lives. About 2 years ago, we actually had a stillborn baby, Paisley, at 23 weeks along. And man, that was a really difficult time for us. But you know what? We've been tested a lot through our marriage, but we just come out stronger because you know what? We have such a faith. And we may not have all the answers here on earth, but certainly we believe that one day we will get those answers. And as much as we miss our daughter, we love our daughter, that was one experience that I don't wish upon anybody, but it's one that I reflect upon, and I'm really, I hate to say it, because you may not understand unless it's happened to you, but I'm thankful that I actually had my daughter, you know? It was a really difficult time, and me and Natalie, we went through a lot, and just knowing the joy that you could have had, but also knowing that it was not in vain. You know, we love our daughter, we had her, and we got to spend time with her and see her and hold her, and man, she was beautiful. But you know, life is life. It's something that you never know what it's going to throw at you, and that's why living well and being healthy and really living it to the fullest is very important, because you just never know when the Lord will take you, right? Oh, so we have four children there, three on this side and one in heaven looking down on us, and that's really important. I told you a lot about my passions. I told you about my family. You know, I got a lot of friends at work and back home. And man, am I just blessed to have a really good life. Now, not a lot of people are blessed to have a great life. And I know that it's easy to say. And I want you to understand with statistics why we are in such a healthcare crisis as it stands right now within Canada. If we want to break down some of the numbers, and that's one thing I'll regularly do on this program, every day, roughly 3,000 beds in Ontario, and that's 16% of the total, are filled by patients not requiring urgent care. So right away, the system is so overloaded that a lot of people who don't require urgent care are going to the hospital seeking it. Now, is that because of a lack of doctors, a lack of walk-in clinics, you're panicking and all of a sudden you need to go to the hospital because you want an answer right away? Well, guess what? In London, you may be waiting 4, 5, 6 hours to get seen by a doctor at the hospital, unless you're bleeding from your neck or something outrageous like that. But, you know, there's just no beds for people who actually require it. If you look at it, during the summer of 2017, a slow season, okay? This is a slow season for the hospitals. Fully half of our hospitals were operating at above 100% capacity. One facility, I'm not going to say who it is, even if I do know it, hit an astonishing 140%. So they were so full that they were operating over capacity. So, I mean, there's obviously a comfortable workload, and then there's, you know, being overburdened by almost, you know, it's what it seems to be like double, nearly, right? I mean, usually you actually have a comfortable workload of around 80% or so. Anyway, let's continue on. In British Columbia, about 700,000 people, or 15% of the population, have no family doctor at all. And at the Royal Jubilee Hospital, here's where doctors make the money. Doctors earn $150 per hour and work 40-hour work weeks. That ends up being $300,000 a year. They pay no overhead, no rent, nor staff. They do not have to run their own practice, getting their own supplies. They simply show up to work. I'm not saying that's an easy job, but see their patients on a regular basis. The family doctor, the regular family doctor, would need to earn $400,000 a year to match their salary, and it's just simply not possible. There's a lot of doctors who are being surveyed now, coming out of school in Ontario, and they're saying, you know what, I'm not going to stick around to practice medicine within Ontario because of, you know, we haven't had a contract in X amount of years, or there's just not the work for me, or perhaps the rural setting isn't appealing. So they'll go to another province. And believe me, if they're already forking out all the money on student debt, you can bet they're going to pick up and go to a house within another province, right? Or even country. It's not unrealistic to think that. But if you're a family doctor, you do have to pay overhead. You have to pay rent. You have to make sure patients are coming in. You have to pay the person welcoming them at the reception desk. You have to pay the person going in and doing their vitals. Right? Oftentimes in Ontario here, we see that hybrid thing where the same person who greets you at the desk is the same one weighing you or taking you into the room and doing your blood pressure. And not only that, but they have to lease very expensive medical equipment. They have to print scripts on paper that they have to buy. And guess what? The printer that they use to print that is under lease. So it is a little bit crazy to think of them starting up their own practice. Is a very huge monetary thing. Now, let's look at a little bit more numbers here, because I always like looking at this. It's irrefutable. You look at these numbers and they're staggering. In 2010, approximately 38% of Canadian physicians were 55 or older. 2010, well, let's do the math. It's 2019 now, 9 years. They're all turning 65, right? That's 38% of Canadian physicians. You can't tell me they're not going to think twice about retiring, right? They've done their time. They've paid their dues. They deserve to be on a beach somewhere. This suggests that Canada will experience increasing physician retirement in the coming years, just as the healthcare demand is rising due to the silver tsunami, the baby boomers, the aging population, as well as childhood disease that we're now seeing on the tail end of stuff, prevalence of sugar, kids not being active, kids being in front of the screen, experiencing ton of screen time. It's crazy. If you think about it, there's something about being able to persuade doctors into staying. If you look at Goderich, Ontario, this is near and dear to my heart because it's where I'm from. I take roots there. Goderich has gone from 5 to 18 doctors since the early 2000s, and that's thanks to a town makeover, carefully orchestrated inclusions of business, and you know what? Making the town appealing. It's a beach community, right? Retirement community. People are very pleasant. Canada's prettiest town, let's say it, okay? And they can attract new doctors very easily. Areas like Petawawa, which have the equivalent to 5 doctors for every 17,000 people, continue to struggle. I've never seen Petawawa on a TripAdvisor, people. I know that's harsh to say because it's a community that, you know, is struggling, but it's not very appealing. If I am done med school, Petawawa is not on my top list of places to go to practice my medicine. Bottom line, it's difficult to recruit doctors, and at the same time, if they are expected to start their own clinics, then it makes it very difficult for them to do that with much overhead. What's the answer? Well, we need to take our health into our own hands. We need to be proactive with stuff. We need to make sure that we're doing the right things so that we can stay out of the hospitals, stay out of the walk-in clinics, stay out of just doctor care altogether. I mean, yeah, it's going to be inevitable. You're going to fall and break a bone. You're going to go to the hospital. Of course you are. But the more that we can stay away from chronic disease, the more we can stay away from excess fat, sugar, you know, different things like that, the less we'll have to manage disease. And when you get a disease, some of these things are irreversible. They're going to be with you your entire life. So make good choices now. We need to take care of ourselves now so that our country can stand to benefit more later. If we continue to strain this healthcare system, it's not going to be able to withstand the burden and it's going to collapse. And guess what? We're going to become like our neighbors to the north or south and have to pony up on health insurance, different things like that. Healthcare costs our country a ton of money. And it's a ton of money that you don't see because you give your health card and we don't see money in that transaction. We don't see it, but it's there. The next time you're in your doctor's office or anything like that, what I want you to do is look around. See all the supplies, see the water running. You're warm, right? You're comfortable. They're paying for their utilities. Look at the expensive equipment. Did the doctor need something specific to examine you? It's not unrealistic to think that doctors fork out thousands and thousands of dollars. And this isn't a pity party for doctors by any means. I know a lot that are doing very well and will continue to do well. I'm just saying not a lot of doctors want to stay in Ontario, and that should be concerning because we already have a lot of people without primary care physicians. So the next time you're in the doctor's office, I urge you, please look around, look at the cost, think of that visit. Was it really necessary? I mean, there's sometimes I take my kids to the doctor because they're unwell, and yeah, I think that's pretty necessary, but you know, some situations can wait. Are you at the hospital for an emergency? Can that wait? You know, there's so many different questions you need to ask yourself. But overall, I think what we need to do is be proactive with our health Make sure that we take control now before we lose it. And live well and be healthy. Be the healthiest that we can be. That's all I got for you today. Thanks for tuning into the show. I want to thank a sponsor, Curtis Godden. He's a great graphic designer. He's awesome. If you come to him with any sort of project, whether it be designing certain marketing stuff or perhaps a website or different things like that, he works for an awesome company. I can give you his contact info. Please flip me an email, and I would love that. If you're wondering who did my theme music, it's actually my brother-in-law's band, Ark and Ocean. Not together very much anymore, but you know what? He was able to flip me the instrumental for it, and it was great. So thank you, Sam and the band, for being able to share that with me so that I can have it on my podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Come back next week for another awesome episode. I'm going to be talking a little bit about food labeling and some of the misconceptions people go through while they're in the superstore. Trickery is upon us, people. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Of course, if you want more exciting content, you can always go on the social media platforms. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Please visit me, The Ron Young Show. Search it, I'll come up, and you can check out more content.